views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right? Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Having learned life lessons the hard way, Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. So tune in, turn on, to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Now, here's your host, Chuck Gallagher.
Hi, this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and I am thrilled to have you joining me today. Years ago, I'll never forget this, I was working back in the 90s directly in sales, and my boss was a fellow by the name of David, and David was an interesting character. He came from West Virginia, and he had a very simple way of thinking about things. In fact, when PowerPoint was just coming out, he would go do a seminar, and he had an overhead projector with slides, and he said he called that his West Virginia PowerPoint. And, you know, he knew that nothing could ever go wrong because he wasn't a technological kind of guy. But we talked a lot about sales and philosophy, and I asked him many times. I said, David, tell me a little bit about what's created your success. And he made the comment. He said, Chuck, he said, I'm really good at one thing. And do you know what it is? And I'm like, no, I'm not sure. I have a clue, David. You know, I wouldn't say you're a multifaceted kind of guy, but, you know, I'm not sure what your one thing is. He said, I'm good at finding their it. And I paused a moment and I thought, they're good at finding their it. And I obviously had a kind of a questioned look. And he said, look, he said, everybody does something for some reason. He said, some people call it their why. Some people call it their it. But the question that I'm really good at is finding out what is that one thing inside of someone that gets them so passionate that they're willing to get up in the morning, willing to go out, willing to make that extra sales call, willing to do whatever it takes because they want it that bad. And I was like, you know, I never thought of that. And in fact, he told me, he said, you know what my it is? David, I have no clue. And he said, my it is I want to live in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. He said, my it is I want to live in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. He says, so I'm going to do whatever it takes to create enough success so that I can live in a condo on Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, get up in the morning, watch the sunrise, hear the seagulls, and feel the air blowing in my face. And guess what? Today, that's exactly where David lives. So I say that to say my guest today is an it kind of guy. What I look at as a person that really understands how to help people find what their priorities are in life. In fact, he calls himself the chief thinker of the Priority Project. Mark Given is a wonderful speaker, teacher, author, the kind of person that you want to talk to help you figure out where are my priorities and what is it that I need to do to make a difference in life. And Mark and I know each other from living in the Carolinas. I'm in South Carolina. He's in North Carolina, almost Virginia, so to speak, as close as you live to it. But Mark and I share the mutual benefit of being a part of the Carolinas, NSA Carolinas, National Speakers Association Carolinas. But outside of that, Mark does some tremendous work with, for example, the ECU Brody School of Medicine, the National Association of Realtors, Nationwide Insurance, and groups both large and small, helping them really hone in on their ability to improve their sales, maybe was the starting point, but really to look and learn what their priorities are, what motivates them to take action. So, Mark, let me say, I am thrilled to have you on the show with me.
I'm glad to be here. I appreciate you having me.
You know, Mark, I guess I want to start off a little bit with maybe the background, because I know you do a lot of work in the real estate arena, and good golly, over the past 8 years, boy, what a roller coaster that's been. So talk with me a little bit about the things that you're doing today and how you're helping people create and make an impact.
Well, thank you for asking, Chuck. I have spent a lot of time helping realtors the last, 10 years, because so many of realtors, they did something else before real estate. And so, they had some career and they have retired or they've moved on and they decided to be in real estate. And so they kind of double faceted. They're trying to find the purpose in their life now at the point they're in, but then they're really focused on helping other people accomplish whatever it is that they want to accomplish, generally in the housing market, but it turns into friendship and kindness, and they need my help a lot. And so I spent a lot of time there. The real purpose, though, is not just with the real estate industry, because what I write about and what I do is to focus on helping people identify what their real priorities in life are, because there's a difference between a goal and a priority. Goals are really good things that we want to happen. And we've all been taught through our life, probably even as infants, that we should write things down. And if you take it to an extreme, then you have a vision board, or you'll actually get real focused on the five things I want to accomplish. Kind of like your friend, the IT guy from West Virginia. You know, we get focused on those things, but then we don't realize how important it is to move from goals to priorities. Most people wait for bad things to happen, and then they realize what's really most important in their life. And then it's a little bit too late. So I help people, sales industries, get real focused on understanding their why, what it is they can do to focus on those key elements so that when they get up in the morning, they're doing the right things and they're starting off the day right and their attitude is right. So often I say that there's three important pieces to success and to beginning this process. And one is understanding that mindset is critical to your happiness and success and identifying priorities. And the second thing is your skill set. And others, you can know that you need to do stuff, but you got to figure out what it is exactly you need to do. So skill set's important. And then actions. So it's really those three pieces. I spent a lot of time talking about those pieces: mindset, skill set, and action. What do I do once I identify it? What's next? How do I get there? How do I get to Myrtle Beach from West Virginia? You know, what's it going to take?
You know, I sit back and I hear you talking about those three components, and you know, you started off, Mark, saying that, you know, you spent a lot of time the past 8 years or 10 years working with folks in real estate. For those people that are listening on the call, let's make sure that everybody's tuned. This isn't a real estate conversation that we're having.
Absolutely is not. Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting, because one of the things that really strikes me, and you know, you might have a particular niche that you're working in, but you're really right. A lot of people that are in the real estate market today fall into, in my opinion, one of two categories. I'm either a real estate professional, have been, this is my thing, I've been doing this all my life, and you know, maybe the brokerage firm is named after me, et cetera, or I'm that person who somewhere is in a life transition, and I've moved from what I used to do and how I was defined to something else. And for those people, your second item, the skill set, is kind of interesting, because you know, a lot of, I'm a baby boomer. And look, I'm the first to say there are a lot of us who are in the baby boom era that are working within companies or have worked in companies and find ourselves not working in those companies for a variety of reasons and have to rethink that skill set. So Let's talk a little about the skill set side of things and some of the things that you see people being able to do to help prepare you from where you were to where you need to go.
Great question. Skill set's going to vary, Chuck, from whatever it is that you do. So it really doesn't matter. I mean, you could be a it seems like everybody's selling something these days in some form, but you could be a school teacher. I've done work with school systems to help teachers understand that their skill set and their customer is very different than a typical salesperson. But the skill set that I focus on is first identifying what it is that their skill needs to be. And then we spend some time talking about the first hour of the day, which I haven't even had a conversation with you about this. But I teach a principle called the difference of working on your life and in your life. We spend most of our time working in our life, and we're so consumed with the day-to-day hourly activities that we don't take any real time, or maybe not enough time, to work on our life, the things that will help us reach the ideas, the concepts, the beliefs that are really most important. So in order to get to the skill set, we have to identify what skills that they need on a daily basis. And then we combine working in what they do with working on their lives so that they can have success in their business, have success in their life, so that they can move on. You know, eventually we're going to all, baby boomer or not, we're going to all reach a point where we don't want to look back with regrets, and we want to press forward with how we want to end our life with significance, you know.
Right.
And so I spend time helping people, organizations, companies, help their people focus on their happiness in life. What is it they really want? So that they're working in their business or in their skill, and then they develop some new skills to work on their life or on their, all the facets that are important.
Right.
So that there's some clarity, there's some focus, and then they actually reach a point in their life where they're really happy about what's next instead of
right.
looking back and thinking, what if, or I wish I had, or, you know, any of that. Then we get to the action steps, because we have to do the skill set, then the action steps.
Right. You know, it's interesting. We're going to go to a break here, Mark. And as we do that, it was fascinating. I was doing a presentation to a long-term care association group.
Yeah.
And we got into this conversation about, you know, when the time comes for the baby boomers to get long-term care, what are we going to want? Because we are, as a group, a different group of people. And we are interested in thinking about, have we made a difference? So working on our lives is critically important. And I tend to believe as we age, we think a bit more about that. But considering the fact that we do need to go to a break, we're going to take just a moment. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Mark Given. We're going to talk about working on your life and in your life and your skill set when we get back from this break. Stick with us. Given is my guest. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and we're talking about making priorities in life. You know, thinking about our life, where we are, what we do, creating those appropriate priorities so that when, as I say it, and people have said before, you know, when you come to the end of the life, you're sliding into home plate saying, wow, what a ride. And I tend to think, you know, as a baby boomer, as probably those of you that are watching on YouTube can tell, you know, that's kind of the attitude that we have. It is important for us to know who we are and to focus on what it is that creates that lasting memory and makes the experience of living memorable. I suppose, Mark, you probably have seen enough about this, but you know, when you have somebody that absolutely hates their job, And it's so easy to say and so hard for people to do at times, but it's like, you know, if you don't enjoy it, better do something else. Life is too short to absolutely despise what it is you are doing when there are so many opportunities, if we'll just open our minds and expand to those possibilities.
Yeah. You know, when I'm out a lot talking to groups, I'll cover this whole principle, which is wherever you are, when you get up in the morning, you begin your day. If you're still, you know, in a working in some way, you've really got to look at your what you're doing all day long in one of three categories. So it's either a job, it's a career, or it's a calling. And people that are in a job, well, they're looking towards the weekend. They're always looking towards the weekend. They just want to get it over with, you know, end of the day, end of the week. A career is the next level, and that's really good. But what happens is when people get kind of caught up in the career mode, they want to succeed, and maybe it's because of rewards or it's achievement or notoriety or you know, a number of different categories. But sometimes they take work home. They look at life and what they do is kind of a rat race. In other words, they take it home, but they wonder why they're taking it home. It's not the same as a job. It's more fulfilling. They feel more fulfilled in life and work. But if you're not really in a state of feeling like you're performing in a calling, I mean, this is what you were born to do. This is why I'm on the earth. This is where I make the little dent. This is where somehow when people look back at my life and career, they say, well, you know, Mark, Chuck, you know, they made a difference. And maybe it won't make the difference like Steve Jobs made, or, you know, some really more significant person shows up on Time magazine. But you can at least look back and say, I am actually doing what I was born to do. So a calling is really the mindset of where it would be nice to be. And because the truth is, if you get up every day and you're looking at your life and what you do as a job or a career, you're not very fulfilled. And
right.
So, and you maybe you should be doing something else. So where the priority fits in, again, as we go back to talking about the difference between working on our life and in our life, you can work in your life and you can make a living, maybe even a substantial living, maybe a very good living. But that doesn't mean that you're glad that you're doing it or excited about doing it. You get up in the morning and you can't wait to get started. And I call it, you know, it would be called being in the zone, or where the time goes by so fast, you don't even realize, gosh, we need to, you're in a calling. That's where you are. I mean, you just can't wait to get started. And it's like when you're done, you're thinking, wow, you know, I can't believe tomorrow I got to get back to this again. You get excited about it. You know, I can't wait to start. And yet you don't feel like you're missing out and you don't miss what's going on in life and family and all that stuff, because it all molds together. We're all looking at my priorities.
You know, Mark, I think that's really interesting. And I go back to an experience today. I was sitting in my office earlier today and I heard a lady interacting with someone on the telephone, have no idea who it was at the time, but she's apparently they said, how are you doing? And she said, well, thank God it's Friday. And the first thought I had was, really, this is that bad that you're going to say to a customer, thank God it's Friday? Well, you know, the message that sends isn't exactly the message I think we wanted to send. But, you know, it strikes me that's her job. It isn't her career. And it certainly isn't her calling.
Sure.
Yet at the same time, and I know you've seen it, you know, you find people who are in a calling. They may not make a lot of money, but they're so good at it. I did a program for a long-term care association, and a gentleman was awarded out of literally thousands of people. He was, and I don't remember the title, so I'm going to really trivialize it, and I don't mean to do it that way, but he was like the janitorial person of the year. And there was this incredible story about the care that he gave and what he did, and he accepted the award very humbly. But he said, it's my calling. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, you know, to some people, they would think, well, being a janitor is just a job. A calling is Mother Teresa or Steve Jobs. But a calling can be in any facet of life.
That's right. And it doesn't have to be about money. I mean, you just said it. is when you reach a point where you really are focused on the things that are most important. In fact, there was a study not long ago that said in the United States, once you get to $75,000, you're going to be about as happy financially as you're going to get, which is kind of interesting because that's certainly not the way most people feel, you know. And I think it would probably be important to understand where you live, because some people living on $75,000 in L.A. would not feel like that they're about as comfortable as they're going to get. But the principle is correct. Whatever the amount of money is that you need to sustain life in that particular part of the country that you live in, the reality is you can get to a point where money, more money, doesn't create more happiness.
Right.
And so that calling, that whole principle of calling, is harder to achieve than I think most people even realize, because we're just trotting along day by day, sometimes just trying to survive. But that's not where really joy and happiness comes from. And so my whole calling is to help people to identify their goals and priorities and get real focused on that so that they really will find the joy and happiness that we deserve. And that's a pretty cool thing to get up and do every day, actually.
Okay, so now let's talk a little bit, because you know, you clearly differentiate between goals and priorities. So now I'm going to ask the question, and then you kind of walk me through this to educate me. So do I need to know the priority before I set the goal, or do I need to set goals that ultimately move me toward understanding what the priority should be? You talk a lot about goals and priorities, okay? So do I need to know the priority of my life in order to set the appropriate goals? Or do I need to set goals that ultimately will move me to discovering the priority?
That's a good question. And there's a simple answer to that, because they're different. You have goals, just like I have goals. I have a goal to fly in a helicopter. I've never flown in a helicopter. I'd like for somebody to hire me and fly me to a speaking engagement or program in a private jet. I've never had that happen. Those are goals. Those are nice things that if they happen, I would be just thrilled. And I could look back and say, boy, that was cool, and I'm so glad that that happened. I have a board in my office with pictures and some things clipped to it like that. But then I have another board in my office, which is the priority stuff, which is if this doesn't happen, it changes everything. Like, for instance, not to pick on any of my children, but my wife and I have 5 children and we meant to. So, but one of my sons right now is in college and he'd like to be married. So a priority for me, this is not a goal now. A goal would be nice, but a priority for me is to focus on encouraging him every week to focus on the right thing, so he'll find that right spouse that will be exactly what he's looking for, because it made such a significant difference in his life to pick the right spouse. That's a priority. Every week, I've got to focus on what can I do to help my son focus on the things to accomplish his most important priority. That's a priority. So goals are fun. Goals are good. Goals are things that we enjoy. Priorities are life-changing. Priorities, we can probably all look back on life and say, I wish I had done something. Well,
excellent.
So, you know, that's where we missed an opportunity to focus on a priority. And if we had been more attentive, more focused, working on the skills, doing the action steps necessary. So to quickly wrap that up, you need both. You don't need goals to find priorities and priorities to find goals. You need to separate them and realize that I have some things that I really would like to have fun with and see to happen, but I have some things that are really significantly important that could change the whole direction of my life, my family's life, maybe put a little dent in the world. And these are the things, this is my calling. This is why I'm here. So it's not complicated, but it takes some thought and some process and some effort.
Let's break with that. My guest is Mark Given. You can find information at markgiven.com, and we'll come back talking a bit about priorities and those life-changing events that can take place in life and how we get to that point. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. Stick with us. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and my guest is Mark Given. Mark is an international speaker, author. He has written several books, and I'm kind of fascinated, always interested in knowing, you know, what someone's done. And we talked a little bit on the front end about your it or your why, and you have two books that I guess. Created the foundation for finding your why. First one, I think, was Finding My Why, Ernie's Journey, A Tale for Seekers, which, you know, to some extent, I guess most anybody, Mark, would have to say, well, if I want to know my why and I really want to know what my calling is, I have to seek it. Is that fair?
Well, that's true. And you know what? Most of the time, we're doing that anyway, just maybe not consciously. So this book just is a fun book. I mean, it's a story about Ernie Goforth, just an everyday man like you and I, who sees a tragic event, looks back at his life, and says, am I really accomplishing all I'm supposed to be accomplishing? Because it's never a bad time to start. I mean, wherever you are, you can can't change the past, but you can always move and change the future. So Ernie Goforth experiences a tragic event, sees it, thinks in his life, and then it's a story about what he does to identify what's most important to him and some of the things that were changed and he changed in his life because he took action. So it's a fun story. It's been well received. It's been shipped all over, you know, all over. It's not been translated into many languages yet, but maybe one of these days. We'll see.
Okay, but I bet it's in two languages. That's English and Fractured Southern. At least I tell people I'm bilingual. That is as good as it's going to get. I can speak Southern, and I can occasionally pronounce my consonants and sound like a radio host.
So, amen.
Now, your second book, Finding My Why, Glory Story, says A Tale of Achievement. So the first one was about seeking. So tell us about the second one on the achievement side.
Second book, Don Greeson and I, Don is my co-author. He's the storyteller. So he likes to say that I'm the chief thinker and he's the storyteller. So he's the creative mind behind the story. Glory is actually Ernie's wife. She goes on a trip with some friends, just a retreat to Costa Rica. We just picked a country. And she kind of looks at what Ernie's been able to do with his life because he got focused and took action. And then she realized, well, you know what? Why couldn't I do that too? So the whole book is really a little different because where Ernie is a 40-some-year-old man. We don't identify his age, but that's what we were thinking. Glory, we had to write from a female perspective. So because Don and I neither are females, we would write literally, a section of a chapter and send it off to about, we had six female advisors. And so that we would, so it would be a good female representation of how the female mind works, because my mind doesn't work like that often. So, but it's a great story and about what she was able to achieve by also getting real clear on what she felt like was most important to her, going from goals to priorities and then focusing on those priorities. What's it going to take to achieve the things that are really important to me, that I don't want to end my life at some future point looking back with regrets, thinking I could have done more or I should have done more.
Right.
So a fun story. There's a lot of little funny twists and turns in it. Don is a wonderful creative storyteller, which led to the third book, which is now really a workbook, Chuck. It's The Priority Project, Six Facets of Achievement. So we take what those principles we taught in Ernie and Glory, and we boil it down to six important facets of success in life. And so facets is an acronym. So the F stands for focus, and the A stands for acceptance, and the C stands for commitment, and the E stands for empathy, and the T stands for tenacity, and the S stands for spirituality, because there are 7 billion people on the earth, and everybody's not religious, and there's many different types of religion, but most people we find are spiritual. They have some kind of understanding of the universe, or however they don't want to define a higher power. That, you know, there's just so many things going on that can't be coincidence. So we have this connection with the universe. So we write about those six facets in separate categories so that people can take what they need the most and work on that first. So if you need more work on commitment, getting commitment to some, deciding what you want to be committed to, and then getting committed, and what are the steps necessary to commit, then that section of the book is actually, you can skip all the rest and just start with that. So again, it goes right back to working on your business, on your life, and in your life, and separating the two.
So let's take that. I'm kind of fascinated. I've always been fascinated by folks that can take a concept and create chunks. That's what I call them, but chunks of data that you can kind of think through. So, you know, here we are on a radio show, and people are listening to this, and it's like, okay, well, gosh, you know, Mark is talking about goals, and he's talking about setting priorities, and that creates six facets of achievement. So let's take the first one. I think the first one was focus.
Focus, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit. Give us a couple of ideas of how you see that particular part of the facets of achievement playing out.
That's a great one to start with, and that's why we started with focus anyway. Our belief, here's what we believe, that there are many ways to identify success in life. And so maybe there's not it's not a new concept. It's a different way of looking at it. So one of the things that Don and I tried to write about, and starting with focus, is that it's important how you begin your day.
Okay.
And there's some pieces to that. So I call it the first hour of the day. And in fact, it's really good because we've been talking concepts. So now it's time to get down. Let's give them something that they can really use. What do you do the first hour of the day, you know, as you begin your day? Are you grateful for the things that you have that are going on in your life that are positive? Because we all have great things that are going on. Now, sometimes we have bad things going on too, but if you focus on negative, you find more negative. If you focus on positive, you find more positive. I mean, we know people that seem to always have a cloud over them. And then we know people that always, it just seems like everything always goes right for them. Well, you know why? It's because that's what they focus on. And you know, when you focus on, well, you choose your path, you'll find it. And right. So we teach that. So, you know, do you get up in the morning and do you start looking at your, checking your email, and then get sucked into, you know, you've spent 2 or 3 hours now that you've not accomplished anything? Do you exercise? Do you focus on trying to, you know, plan out your day? So we have some pieces in there so that you can plan your day. You can be more receptive to the things that you're grateful for, that you should be grateful for. You know, beginning the day with a mindset of positivity, so that we're happy, we expect good things to happen. I wrote a couple of weeks ago in Mark's Minute, which, you're, by the way, you're always good about reading those. Thank you for reading. I wrote something the other day about Murphy's Law, that rather than focusing on all the things that could go wrong and do go wrong, we rather focus on all the good things that will happen today because I deserve them. You know, so we reverse Murphy's Law, thinking, hey, all the things are not going to go bad for me today. All the things that are going to go, you know, there's going to be just a whole wealth of things that go great for me today, because you know what? That's the way it should be. That's the way Absolutely. Life should be, and I deserve it. So the focus facet is about focusing on the right things, but you begin the day, that first hour of the day is so critical to how your day goes. So we teach some very simple principles about what you could do, what are alternatives. The Wall Street Journal wrote something a couple of years ago about using an acronym called FOMO, which is fear of missing out. This is my cell phone. People are so afraid that when it lights up or blinks or that we have to look at it immediately. You know, I put it there so I can demonstrate that. You know, are we sucked into that from the very beginning of the day, that these tools that are supposed to be a benefit really are such a distraction?
Right.
That it keeps us focusing, keeps us from focusing on the things that are most important. And I've heard,
I'm sure you've heard it all,
excuses of why we have to have these. We have to have, but
right.
They don't have to control us.
So we've got 2 minutes before the break, and I know that's putting you under some pressure, but tell me a little bit about the A portion before we go to break.
Okay. Acceptance is very simple. Acceptance is understanding that sometimes circumstances happen in life that we really don't have control over. And so you have to accept the fact that good and bad happens in our lives. And it's not what's bad that happens. It's not always what's good that happens. It's how we choose to deal with it. It goes back to mindset again, understanding that some things we can control and some things we can't. So that whole acceptance facet is understanding that sometimes things happen for a reason. We just have to wait till some future point to see what that real reason was. So we accept it. We do the best we can with it. We find the good in it, and we move on. We accept.
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating you say that. As we go to break, Mark, you know that I've had a little challenge with my back, and
yes,
had back surgery, and it was kind of funny because, of course, it wasn't something that I wanted. I had no choice but to accept it. But I think this will tie in as we go into the next segment, because I have certainly developed a more empathetic attitude toward those people walking through airports with canes and having challenges, because I used to speed through them. Now I have a more steadied pace as I go through those places these days, and am very grateful for the fact that we live in a time when healing can take place. My guest is Mark Given. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. You can find more about Mark on his website, markgiven.com. And when we get back, we're going to continue talking about the Priority Project, 6 facets of achievement. Stick with us. Well, this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and I am talking to the chief thinker of the Priority Project. His name is Mark Given. You could not ask for a greater guy and someone who has a heart to share with his audiences literally all over the country, because that's his calling. And he does it so well. We were talking about, in our last segment, your newest project, the Priority Project, 6 facets of achievement. And the word facets means something. Each of them says a little something. We talked about the F and the A. Talk to us about the C of facets in the Priority Project.
But C is commitment. So the simplicity of commitment is you need to get committed to something. I mean, if we flounder through life, you really will never reach a point that you'll find all the accomplishment that you deserve. So what is it you want to be committed to? And, let's get focused on what you love, what really drives you. You know, what could cause you to get really excited in the morning when you wake up and get started on the day? So it's really commitment in a number of different areas. So you could be committed to, to work. You can be committed to family. You can be committed to fun. You can be committed to many different things. But it's just clearly identifying what is it we want to get committed to, and then how can we be the best at that we can be, so that we become masters of our own world, so that we have control instead of other, people or circumstances controlling us.
You know, Mark, it's kind of funny when I hear you talk about commitment. A long time ago, got my license to fly airplanes. And, you're sitting here, you're learning to fly, and you're sitting in this little airplane in the summer. It's just hot as blue blazes, but that's a different issue. But, the instructor's beside you and everything is pretty good. But, you absolutely know if you screw it up, there's somebody there that's got this thing.
Got to fix it, yeah.
And you're going along, and then one day they say to you, okay, now you do it. And it's like, oh, crap, I didn't know I had to do it by myself today. By myself, really? Are you sure I can do it? Yeah, and you know when you're running that plane down the runway that you are now committing that you're going to do this puppy right, because once you're in the air, there is one fundamental fact. You got to put it back on the ground. Yeah. And failure to do that correctly means your demise in most cases. Yeah. So that's kind of an interesting experience of commitment whenever you know it's life and death and you know you can do it.
You know, we can kind of tie that into when you had to solo. So it's one thing when you got to do it and he's sitting beside you and he can fix it. That's true. But man, when he gets out of the plane and you are right. So when you're doing those flight lessons and you're soloing, and that's kind of what we're talking about with commitment, and we don't have anybody else to help us at some point, what happens then? Because we got to be committed to something. And do we have the skills necessary to make that happen?
So now take us to the next level.
Okay, next level then is empathy. So empathy, there's a difference between sympathy and empathy. And, you know, we can feel bad for people's circumstances and we can try to in some way understand it. But empathy really is the fact that you don't really understand. I've never had back problems. You have now experienced that. I can have real sympathy for you and I can ask you a lot of questions and, you know, I can certainly show that I care. But the truth is, till I ever really experience that, it's hard for me to have that kind of empathy for you that you, well, maybe deserve and want. So empathy is just understanding that there is a difference between sympathy and empathy, and don't mix them up, because you can't really empathize with somebody if you've never walked a mile in their shoes. And so it's understanding that, you know, put yourself in the right place here so that you can help people accomplish their goals, be the best person that you can be. Part of, you know, the priority project is being masterful in your life, being the best person that you can be, and understanding the difference between sympathy and empathy.
Right. It's, you know, it's interesting. Most of the people who listen to the show on a regular basis know that many years ago I made stupid choices, which ended me up in federal prison. And so although I'm not defined by that experience, I am certainly empathetic to people who have had that experience and say, you know, I'm having a challenge finding X, finding work, or whatever. There are consequences to life, and we will live with those consequences for the rest of our lives, but it doesn't mean it defines our lives. Now, after empathy, we go to the T of
tenacity. Facets. Yeah, we can make that. I can define that and easily in just another simple word that people get better than tenacity, and it's just called grit. You know, tenacity is not giving up. I struggle. This goes back to empathy, where I have to, an area I have to work on. I struggle to see people, you know, when they get started in something and they don't finish, you know, because there's a lot of people that are good starters, but not good finishers.
Right.
So tenacity section is about how do we really make decisions about what it is we really want to do. So we don't waste our own time and our own lives and other people's time and lives getting involved or doing things that we don't ever intend to finish. So it's about grit, so that when we want something so bad, there is no reason to quit. Quitting is unacceptable, you know. So tenacity is about making great choices about what's really most important. So obviously we touch on the fact that sometimes we gotta be strong enough to have enough grit to say no, you know. We can't do that because that's not a good choice. We can't allow people to talk us into doing things because we're not really committed to them. So the tenacity facet is about how do we work on that in our lives so that we can do what's most important to us, say no when necessary, and then we can really be fulfilled because we're accomplishing the things that are really most important, our priorities.
So the book is The Priority Project, 6 Facets of Achievement. And as we wrap things up, talk about the S of facets.
Yeah, the spirituality part is always the hard part to maybe touch on, because people are sensitive about their religious beliefs. And if you're very strongly religious, then if you just talk about spirituality, they're a little sensitive to that. But if you're not religious, and you want to talk about spirituality, then people are afraid you're going to talk about religion. So we decided, Don and I decided, we needed to go down that path and help understand the one commonality that we all have, even though we may believe differently as it relates to a higher being, is that we almost all people have an understanding that there is some energy that connects all of us. I mean, everything like this pen. I mean, this is, somebody had to have this idea, and then they had to, you know, draw it, and then somebody had to manufacture it. But the crazy wild part of this is still just some kind of mass and energy that became a pen. And so we talk about the complexity, the science of how everything is interconnected. Even ideas that come to us from out there someplace that scientists can't explain it. So why would I think I can explain it? But the truth is, we've always had experiences. We've all had them where we thought something, or we thought about connecting with somebody that we hadn't talked to in a long time. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, we run into them.
Right. You know, absolutely.
Plus, or we get an email or Facebook book. And that stuff is not coincidence. I mean, we may not be able to explain it, but there's a lot going on all the time. So the simplicity, the simple way to wrap this piece up is, if we would live our lives with our antennas up, there are so many opportunities that provide, you know, really rich possibilities and experiences. And all we have to do is have our antennas up, and great things happen. Spirituality is about understanding that.
You know, I love that, Mark. And I want to make sure that people know how to get in touch with you. This has been a fascinating interview. The last part of our discussion, we've talked about the Priority Project, 6 facets of achievement. My guest is Mark Given, and certainly they can go to markgiven.com. And Mark, I assume there on the website, there is a place to go ahead and sign up for your newsletter. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know what? Thanks for bringing that up. Every Wednesday morning, I send out a Mark's Minute. It's 1 minute. I write them myself. They go out to tens of thousands of people all over the world. I try to make sure that they're valuable and relevant, and they end up touching almost every week on one of these 6 facets. And even though I don't, they're fun, they're short, it takes 1 minute to read them, and you read them. So I'd love for people to sign up. They go right on the website, and they can just click on sign up for Mark's Minute. And I'd love for thousands of people to sign up and get it from this interview.
Well, and I would strongly encourage that. You know, we're running out of time, and I hate that to be the case, but my guest is Mark Given. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. And remember, as we wrap up this segment, talking about the Priority Project, 6 facets of achievement, every choice we make in life has a consequence. And those facets of achievement are all choices that you can make. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining us, and tune in next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher.